Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Living Beyond Limits. You all know I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm so glad that you showed up today. And for those of you who are online, I'm so glad that you've shown up for our service today. So I'm going to share with you our mission statement, and I think most of you know it. I invite you to say it along with me, or if you don't, just to take it in. It says, "We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world." So you know that's what we are all up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is an awakening to our own spiritual nature, awakening to that divine presence that lives within us, that one presence, that one power, that one life, that one intelligence, that one love that expresses everywhere, that is the very thing that animates creation itself, and that presence is none other than our own spiritual nature, that presence of love and peace and wholeness and power. Because when we come to recognize that that presence of the divine is within us all of the time, that then we have access to it regardless of what's happening in the world, regardless of what's going on around us, or regardless of how people are behaving, then we get to be the ones that bring forward love or compassion, or kindness, or stand in our own wholeness. And as we do that, we transform those situations. We transform those relationships, and we come to the world as a healing presence and as a beneficial presence. And so I say thank you to each and every one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be creating the world around you to be a better place than it was before you showed up. So thank you for that. And so on podium with me this morning is Barbara Conant. She's going up to come up and lead us in an evocation and do a contemplative reading for us. And Ray, are we going to try to play? We are. Okay. And so I invite you to just kind of settle into yourself. And the song "We Are" by Denise Rosier should play with the words on the speaker. And so you can sing along, or you can just take that in and allow the sound of the bell and that song to just help you slow down a little bit and to find your own center, to find that place of beingness within you.
We are one, we are one, we are all one in God. We are love, we are love, we are all the love of God. Beauty, Taking this moment, I rest my mind and heart into that great benevolent power of life and love. And know this day is one of infinite potential as we recognize our oneness with the source of the all good. And we become aware that this new year is one of new awareness, new opportunities of experiencing the goodness of realizing the divine promise of life, ever present, overflowing with all the good that we can imagine. Our intent to live in an awakened state of abundant good opens a pathway from our mind to our heart to be a beneficial presence of light and love in our journey this year to the light and life within our heart, so we may be a blessing to those around us. And so today I bless Living Beyond Limits. I bless the people here. I bless the people on YouTube. I bless Reverend Jennifer as she guides our minds and hearts to recognize we are living our greatest life right now. And I give thanks for this day as it unfolds perfectly. And so it is. Good morning, everyone. So my reading today is from Living the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes, and it's from a chapter called Be Yourself. And it begins, "There is a person back of our personality, a unique manifestation of the living spirit. It is never alike in two people, yet everything is rooted in the one life and the one presence. There's a God-given something at the center of our being, which is the spiritual ego, our divine self. This divine person sees things in a different light than will the one who thinks they are alone. This divine person draws strength and inspiration from life itself, for no one can live without God and be whole. There is an invisible presence within us, which has its source in a higher power, and which acts through our actions, wills through our minds, and reveals itself in what we are doing. This is the source of all real inspiration here at the center of our being. We all have direct access to the infinite presence, the divine person. There can be no more beautiful thought than that the divine spirit itself, infinite as it is also within us. And with this acceptance of the infinite within, there must come an acceptance of the real self, that self which blooms in our relationships with others and who feels themselves at one with all life. And so it is.
And so I'm going to begin today actually with a story. And it goes like this. In the waning years of the last ice age, they struggled to adapt to the cold environment and the short winter days in their new northern homeland. As winter approaches, the tribal chief realizes they lack the provisions to sustain them through the long, cold winter months. He hatches a plan to raid a nearby village that has been catching fish in the river and drying them for the winter. For Seth, the chief's teenage son, this will be his first raid. He is both excited and scared as the men prepare their spears and clubs for the nighttime robbery. Their stealthy raid in the dark proves successful, as the warriors fill their leather sacks with a bounty of dried fish. As the marauders steal away into the night, barking dogs alert the rival tribe to their presence. The warriors chase and attack. A surge of adrenaline courses through young Seth's body as he battles a teenage boy from the rival tribe. Seth puts into practice all the battle maneuvers his father has taught him. With his superior skills, he soon finds his spear piercing the heart of his opponent. As his opponent breathes his last breath, Seth catches the reflection of himself in his rival's eyes. Seth is flooded with both the elation of the victory of the battle and the sadness from taking a human life just like his own. The next day, the tribe celebrates the victory and heaps praise on Seth for his bravery in battle. Seth feels the pride of his accomplishment, yet cannot seem to shake the image of his vanquished opponent's eyes as he died. It almost feels as if part of Seth has died with him. Seth's inner conflict between taking necessary action to survive versus the concern and connection he felt with another living being feels familiar to many of us. In our modern society, these inner conflicts often take on a more sophisticated tone. We want to give generously to the charities we believe in, but we want to save money for our own needs. We become anxious when a beloved colleague at the office suddenly becomes a competitor for our promotion. We feel compassion for refugees fleeing persecution and now suffering on our border, but we also feel protective of our country's jobs and resources. It's almost as if we have two different people inside of us, two distinct parts of ourselves. And one is that ego sense, that ego self, the part of me that I identify with and that I call me, who I am in this body. The ego self is the part of us that identifies with our thoughts and our feelings and our experiences. Like, I had a really fun time at that party last night. It's the part of us that sees ourselves as distinct individuals. Like, yes, that was me that answered the phone. That's their ego part of ourselves. The ego is the thing that enables us to navigate the world. It orients us to time and space. It's the thing that enables us to maneuver in traffic, to plan for the future and save for the future. It is the part of ourselves that enables us to set goals and to negotiate contracts and negotiate relationships. It's the thing that enables us to set boundaries and to become proficient at tasks. From a biological perspective, the sole purpose of our ego is to facilitate our survival. So if you want to survive on this planet, you need your ego. The ego is not the enemy. It's the part of us that allows us to maneuver in time and space. The other part of ourselves is our ego. It's the other part of ourselves that is not our ego is our spirit. It's our essence. It's our higher self. It's the part of us that knows and senses that we are one with all that is, with all of humanity, and with life itself. And our spirit's motivation is love. Love and connection and oneness and openness. That's why it feels so good to be in conscious awareness of our spirit, to feel our spirit, to feel or to sense that divine presence that we live in, that lives in everyone. It feels so good when we are in that sense of our oneness with everyone and everything. And so the title of my talk today is The Enlightened Ego. And I'm talking about that in order to come from our spirit, in order to come from our spiritual principles, in order to come from our spiritual self, we need to be aware of our ego, of what our ego is, and how our ego operates. Because it is only when we are aware of what our ego is and how it operates that then we can choose to either come from our ego or to come from our spirit. And then we can decide which is appropriate in what situations. And then we need to tell ourselves the truth of who we are as spiritual beings, as eternal beings. And so somebody in this world that so clearly lived from his spiritual principles was Desmond Tutu, who just passed recently. And so I'd like to read something about him. He is a person that so clearly lived from his spirit and from his spiritual principles, and so we honor his life and we pay tribute to him. People around the world are celebrating the life of the Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who passed away on December 26th. The Nobel Peace Prize laureate is honored for helping to end institutionalized segregation in South Africa and for lending his voice to other injustices and oppression. Quote, "Anywhere humanity is undermined, anywhere people are left in the dust, there we will find our cause." Desmond Tutu was a South African Anglican bishop and theologian, known for his work as an anti-apartheid and human rights activist. He was bishop of Johannesburg from 1985 to 1986, and then archbishop of Cape Town from 1986 to 1996, in both cases being the first black African to hold the position. Tutu stood among the world's foremost human rights activists, like Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr. His teachings reached beyond the specific causes for which he advocated to speak for all oppressed people's struggles for equality and freedom. Perhaps what made Tutu so inspirational and universal a figure was his unshakable optimism in the face of overwhelming odds, and his limitless faith in the ability of human beings to do good. Despite all the ghastliness in the world, human beings are made for goodness, he once said. The ones that are held in high regard are not military power, nor even economically prosperous. They have a commitment to try and make the world a better place. A commitment to try to make the world a better place. And one of my favorite quotes that I read from him in doing this research this week, that he says, "I wish I could shut up, but I can't, and I won't." Is that great? So Desmond Tutu was an extraordinary human being who lived from his spirit, who lived from his spiritual principles, and in doing so, he made a huge impact in this world. And of course, he did all of that while negotiating the world with the assistance of his ego. We want to be able to live from our spirit. We want to be able to live from our spiritual principles. We want to make a positive impact on the world. We want to live those spiritual beliefs and live that conviction. We want to walk our talk. so that the actions that we do in the world actually reflect our spiritual beliefs. Our beliefs like love is the ultimate power. Our beliefs like each and every single one of us in this world is an outpicturing of that divine presence. Our beliefs like we are one family, this family of humanity. We want to live out of those spiritual principles of knowing that we are whole and that we are powerful, and knowing that we are all equal, that we are all valuable, and that we are all important. Ernest Holmes said, "Someday we will come to perfectly appreciate the fact that no living soul is more important than any other one. For in the eternal kingdom of reality, they are all the same, king and slave, what we call rich and poor, what we call intelligent and unintelligent, what we call worthwhile and not worthwhile people." Our spirit knows that. Our ego, not so much. And the other thing that we want, one of the other things that we want as human beings, is to know that we are safe and to know that we are okay. So the problem is not that we have an ego. The problem is that our ego thinks it is who we are, and that we often identify with that ego and think that it is who we are. The problem is that our ego is always on high alert for danger, that it sees danger everywhere, and that it has a negativity bias. Kelly Benninga, who wrote the book called The Enlightened Ego, said, "Evolution has pre-programmed us to avoid danger whenever possible. The risk aversion plays out in what is called negativity bias, where we unconsciously look for the worst case scenario in each situation. In our evolutionary past, assuming that there was a lion behind every rock paid off if there actually was a lion behind one in 100 rocks. So we have this negativity bias where we look for what is wrong, where we look for what is scary, where we look for the worst, where we look for what is bad in people and in situations. Our ego's main mode of operation is fear. And that fear is to keep us safe and to keep us alive. Fear was essential to our survival as early human beings. So the problem really is that our ego has not evolved along with society. Our ego has not evolved along with the world as it has evolved. Because today, really, we rarely encounter something that is life-threatening to us. Yet, we feel threatened often. We have the same reaction as we did as those early humans, a threat to a lion behind a rock, as we do when something is threatening to our self-esteem. We have that same reaction when something threatens our self-image. I know that in reading this book and in thinking about this, I've realized that one of the places in my life where I snap and get really mad is if I have a date with someone, let's say to go out to dinner and we're meeting at 6 o'clock, and Colleen has somehow caused us to be late and we're in the car. I get like in this panic kind of mode and get so angry, and I've realized it's because it's a threat to my self-image. It's a threat. Those people might then think that I am not responsible or that I am not reliable. So it's this old biological caveman reaction that's causing such a huge reaction. We see that in men if someone calls them a wuss, you know, with the P in front of it. You see them get in fights with each other over stuff like that. It's because it's that caveman reaction to their self-esteem being threatened, their self-image being threatened. You see that in neighbors fighting over property lines, or someone, something is hanging over, your tree is hanging over into my yard, or I probably shared with you all, my neighbor has a cardiac if my trash can is over the line into his driveway. That is that same biological response that if you are going to take what is mine, I'm not going to be safe and I'm not going to be able to survive. It's an old, irrational, emotional response that we're having from the ego whose job was to keep us safe. And then that unconscious fear that we feel gets expressed as anger. Think about this in your own life. Or as manipulation, like with the people that you're closest to, as inducing guilt or shame, or withdrawing your love or your attention. When you feel threatened like that, you withdraw from your partner. You don't even know why. You're just so angry because of something they've done. So close your eyes for a second and think of a recent event in your life where you became angry. Maybe where you became defensive. Does anybody not have one? So look inside and see, is there something within you that was threatened by whatever it was that happened? Was there a threat to your well-being, maybe? Or a threat to your status? Or your value? Maybe was there something that feel threatened from a very primal place that was not rational, that actually felt like a threat to your survival? So I invite you to open your eyes. Were you able to connect those dots? When we feel threatened like that, the only solution is to tell ourselves who we are. To tell ourselves that we are eternal beings. That we are spiritual eternal beings. To tell ourselves that we are whole. To tell ourselves that who we are, who you are, cannot be damaged. Who you are cannot be diminished. Who you are cannot be destroyed. So say that after me. Who I am is eternal. I am eternal. Who I am cannot be damaged. I cannot be damaged. Who I am cannot be diminished. I cannot be diminished. Who I am cannot be destroyed. I cannot be destroyed. It is only when you know that that you feel safe. And it is only when you feel safe that you can choose to come from your spirit, that you can choose to come from your heart, that you can choose to come from love, that you can choose to come from your own spiritual principles. Can you see that? You know, you think about like intimate relationships. It's only when you feel safe that you can really come from your heart. It's only when you feel safe in who you are that you can love strangers out in the world, that you can love the homeless person or the person who has committed a crime or the person who is making poor choices. It doesn't mean that you condone that kind of behavior, but it means that you come to the world from your heart and a desire to make a difference from there instead of from judgment and from fear. And really think about it, the judgment is all about to keep us safe also, to enable us to survive. And I'm going to say it again, it is only when you feel safe that you can come from your spirit. Desmond Tutu said, "We are made for goodness. We are made for love. We are made for friendliness. We are made for togetherness. We are made for all the beautiful things that you and I know. We are made to tell the world that there are no outsiders. All are welcome. Black, white, red, yellow, rich, poor, educated, not educated, male, female, gay, straight. All. We all belong to this family, this human family, God's family. We are each made for goodness, love, and compassion. Our lives are transformed as much as the world when we live from these truths." That's what we on this spiritual path are up to, living from that place of truth and bringing our spirit into the world. And so my invitation to you is that when you feel angry or when you feel defensive in your life, when you want to control what's going on, or when you want to withdraw your love, to recognize that it's your ego reacting. The part of you that thinks it has to keep you safe and thinks that a threat to your self-image or your self-esteem is a threat to your survival. To ask yourself, what in me is feeling threatened right now? Just like you did here. Close your eyes, take a moment. What feels threatened in here? And listen for the answer. And then tell yourself the truth about who you are. That you are an eternal being, that you are whole, that you are safe, because you are eternal. Know that you are connected to all of life. And live in that possibility that the adversity in the world and the adversity in your own life is there to help you deepen your own spiritual conviction, to help you live from that spiritual conviction. It is there to assist you in standing ever more firmly in the spiritual principles that you believe in. For it was Kierkegaard that said, "It is not the path which is the difficulty. Rather, it is the difficulty which is the path." It's a path for our own evolution and our own deepening and our ever more fully bringing our own spiritual nature into this world. And as you do that, you will get to choose if you want to come from your ego or come from your spirit. You will be able to choose if you want to come from reaction or come from your heart. You will get to choose if you want to come from primal fear or from your spiritual principles. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of self-discovery, this path of putting into practice what it is that you really know in your spirit and into being a beneficial presence in this world. Blessings to every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we begin simply by recognizing God, that presence of spirit, that infinite one whose nature is love, whose nature is oneness, whose nature is connection and good, for it is the good itself. God and good are synonymous with each other. And so we recognize that it is this presence that animates and maintains and sustains all that is. For it is this presence that is expressing itself as everything that is. And if that presence is expressing as everything that is, then all that it is present everywhere, in everyone, in everything, in every moment, in every circumstance. All that it is present right here, right where we are, that we live and move and have our beingness in this life of God, that this life of God has its beingness within us as one of its outlets. And so today we recognize that we are an inlet and an outlet to that divine presence, that our spirit is none other than the outpicturing of that presence of love and wholeness and peace and power and truth and oneness. And so today that acts as the guiding principle within each and every single one of us. It is that supports us in making our best and highest decisions for ourselves and for everyone around us. It is that presence that acts through our choices and our decisions and our words and our actions as the evolution of our own lives, of this particular life we're living here, and that contributes to the evolution of the whole. And so today we lean into that presence. We lean into our own spirit, and we give thanks to our ego self for protecting us, for having our safety in mind. We thank that ego self just for giving us this sense of me and who I am walking on this earth as a physical being. And so today we just recognize that we have both. And as we remember who we are able to choose. And so we choose the highest in every moment. And so it is with gratitude that I release this word into the law, knowing that it is unfolding itself within us because it is the law of our own being. And here we show up as representatives of that one presence, goodness itself. And I release this prayer in gratitude and I say, and so it is. And so it is now time for our affirmation.
And if you'll all join me, I am an eternal being,
whole and indestructible. Nothing can harm the real me. I am safe. From here, I share my spirit and my love with the world, and I easily live from my spiritual principles. And so it is.
Yes. And so thank you for your support, and thank you for being here, and I love you all, and know that you are loved by all of us.